Once again, praise the Lord to you wonderful people. The Lord just impressed me with this afternoon. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 25. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 25, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings," everyone say groanings, "which cannot be uttered." Say praying in the Spirit.
Pray.
Say speaking with tongues. Say
power within me.
In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 it says, Jesus speaking, "I will build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I want to entitle this tonight, "The Need of Intercession." Would you lift your hands, your voices, your hearts, and would you pray with me that God will do with us in this sanctuary tonight exactly what He wants to do with us? And I feel in the Spirit that there is an urgency in the Holy Ghost toward us, toward us. Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you for the wonderful touch of God that is in this place, for the beauty of the worship, for the excitement and the enthusiasm of your people. I praise you tonight for this wonderful church, this great people. I pray, God, that you will forgive our sins and our transgressions, that you will look beyond our great faults and see our need of you. Jesus, I pray tonight once again that you'll be merciful toward us, that you will engulf us with your love, that you will, O God, speak to us, that your grace and mercy and truth and love, O God, will overwhelm us until we will look, as it were, full into your wonderful face. Jesus, tonight, anoint us both to hear and to speak. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name, because there is no other. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for standing so long. You may be seated. Would you clap again for the Lord tonight and worship Him with your voice for a moment with all of your heart? I know it's been a long week, and I know that some of you are very tired, but I'm tired too, and I've got to travel again tomorrow. But tonight, we are here in the presence of Jesus, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So would you, everybody, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, hear the voice of your people. Hear the voice of your people. I pray tonight, hearken to our cry in the name of Jesus. The verse of Scripture that I read for you, the first time it ever became significant in my life was in the early days of my evangelizing. I read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 25. "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Sister Wolf, she and her husband were pastoring at the time in a place not far from Dover, Delaware. It was Wilmington, Delaware, as I remember. There in that church, Sister Wolf, though they had labored in the Lord's vineyard diligently, she came down with a brain tumor, and it was so bad that when she would go to walk toward an open door, she would misjudge her distance, and she'd run into the door facing, and it would only complicate the difficulties in her head, and she became very distressed with it. And she kept going to the doctor, and the doctor insisted on doing brain surgery. But she would not hearken to that, nor would she agree to it. But she kept quoting a scripture to him. She looked at him and she said, "But doctor, I'm believing that the Lord will heal me, and the church is praying for me." And then she'd quote to him, "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And to make a long story short, I remember preaching there. I preached a whole message one night just for her. She was on the front row, that God might heal her. And there was a tremendous move of God in that place, and a lot of things happened. But the brain tumor was still there. Shortly after I left, she got so bad that she went to bed with it, and the church began to come through their home. They opened the doors of their home, and the saints came every hour. They would come through and go to her bedroom and kneel down and pray. They did this around the clock. They would not give up. And what happened was, all of a sudden, the thing disappeared, and she was totally healed, and it amazed medical science. Why do we need to make intercessory prayer? Why do we need to get involved and downshift, as it were, into the real urgency of our expression toward God? I'm not talking about some little praise or worship from our mind or our lips at a given time in a service, but I'm talking about getting a hold of God where you wrestle with Him, and as Jacob of old held on, you will not let go. I've lived in this for 31 years. I can tell you that intercessory prayer has become a lost art among our people and our preachers. When I came into this, it was nothing for people to pray until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, sobbing at the altars, not even being asked to, not on some time chart or some schedule or some vow they had made. They just did it because they wanted to do it, because they felt it. They were so wrapped up in God and the Spirit and the things of God that they didn't care about anything else. They simply prayed, 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 prayed. Everyone say, prayed. They prayed to God. I remember it took me so long to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost that once I got it, I was so used to coming to the altar and praying for hours that even after I had it, I still came back to the altar and prayed for hours in a corner over there in that basement where they had church, and I would practice the Holy Ghost and speak in all different kinds of languages, and I thought this was the thing to do. And I got into it. I got into all kinds of things, because if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. And hear me tonight, the answer to worldliness is intercessory prayer. If you really get a hold of God and He really gets a hold of you, you don't care about sports or makeup or clothes or whatever God asks of you. You couldn't care less. You just want more of this and more of this and more of this, and nothing really matters but this if you really get a hold of God. But if you don't have a hold of Him, the world gets a hold of you, and you want to act like them, dress like them, talk like them, live like them. But if you get a hold of Jesus, you want to talk like Him, live like Him, act like Him, walk like Him. And that is the key. I'm saying tonight, we've got to get a hold of Jesus. And in this church, something is happening here. It's different even than when I was here in August. Something is happening here. But it's not nearly as much as could happen. Because in this hour, multitudes are embracing other things and not God. They're embracing all kinds of things. We are awkward as we walk through this world because we are citizens of another world. Where is this man that dances and runs? You got the suspenders on. You threw your coat off. Where are you? Oh, there he is. When you were singing the chorus tonight about I'm going to leap like David leaped or jumped, whatever it was, I watched him. He purposely came up here to do it. He came up there, trucked across here, and leaped off here. I watched him do it. I grabbed him a while ago on the aisle, and I said, I appreciate your worship. He said, look, man, I've been delivered. He said, they can have that Super Bowl. He said, I've been delivered. He said it. I thought, my God, that's what it is. He's got a hold of it. I don't know what you think about him, but you know what? He doesn't care what you think about him. He has been delivered, and he knows that this Jesus is alive and real. He doesn't just believe it. He knows it. Say, I know it. Say, I've got him. Throw your hands in the air, lift your voice, and talk to God for just a moment. That's it. Jesus. 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 Can you feel that? You can feel an urgency. Something is already beginning to stir among the people. Something already is beginning to stir in some of your hearts. Because once you stir up the Holy Ghost that's inside of you, he knows what I'm talking about. And he relates to what I'm talking about. And your being begins to relate to what I'm talking about. Intercessory prayer, closeness to God, is the answer to holiness. It's the answer to modesty. It's the answer to living godly in a sinful world. Because if you have a hold of him, he that is inside of you is greater than he that is in the world. And when you get that greaterness inside of you, the world cannot get a hold of you. It cannot get a hold of you. Jesus. And in this church, there are some great intercessors. But I feel in the Spirit that needs to be stirred once again. The devil does have power. He does have a system. In India, they worship the Brahmin cow. The devil, he is so content to deceive people as long as they do not worship the one true God. The devil will allow people to worship anything they want to worship, as long as it is not the one true God. It is not our fault that the millions are starving to death in those foreign countries. It's not our fault. It's the devil's fault. If they'd kill some of those cows, they'd have plenty to eat. You kill a cow and thousands will lose their lives over some religion of darkness. When you fall down and worship a Brahmin bull, that is darkness. And then someone come in here and criticize us or ridicule us for our people running around here and being quote-unquote out of order in a church service. Hogwash. This is where it is. We have a hold of it. It's not some cow we're worshiping or some bull. We are worshiping the Creator who said, let there be light. His name is Jesus. And it's the only name whereby you can have your sins remitted and forgiven. There is no name like unto his name. There is no name like unto his name. And we know his name. We know his name. Say it, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like that shouting I hear. I like it. I can hear the sound of shouting. I can hear the sound of worship. I can hear the sound of prayer in this house. That means there's a stirring in this place. The Holy Ghost is stirring us in this house. In some areas of the world, there is total idolatry. Between spiritual darkness and perverted Christianity, the world has little or no hope. I can promise you here tonight, you may get people to church with singing and with programs, but you will not keep them. It takes the power of God to keep people living for God. It's not a program that does it. It's not gimmicks that do it. It's not stained glass or new paint on the wall that does it, or new carpet. We appreciate all of it. It's very lovely. But that's not what does it, because you can close your eyes in a garbage dump and fly away and rest in the bosom of Jesus. It's where two or three are gathered together, but it's got to be in His name. And when you're in His name and the Spirit begins to move, you're going to have church in a dump on a street corner in a building like this, because Jesus is where His people have gathered together in His name. And when you begin to pray and worship, all of heaven begins to descend upon that focal point. And there's a focal point here in Stockton, California. And heaven is aware of this place, and the devil is aware of this place. But the devil can't do anything about it. He cannot do anything about it. He cannot do anything about it, because what we have got a hold of is greater than what he represents it is. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. I would to God we could wake up to that. If we could wake up to that. If we could just wake up to that. That what I've got a hold of is greater, 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 greater. This is greater, 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 greater than anything that is out there. This is greater. Jesus. We've got to have the power of God. Not just a format or another program or going through the procedures. There has to be a move of God. What a magnificent song was sung tonight when I walked in here about He carries the weight of the world upon His shoulders. And if He can carry that, He can carry us. And I could feel as I walked in here, it opens the soul of man. Music is a gift from God to man. It opens the soul of man toward God. I've seen or heard masterpieces preached, and people were still able to hold on to the edge of the seat or the back of the pew. But the moment the hymn began to become song and the strains of the organ began to fill the expanse of the auditorium, the music somehow was the final blow that crushed the soul and caused it to open up toward God. That's why you need to lift your hands and open your mouth and sing the songs of Zion when you're in the sanctuary of the Lord, because there may be someone beside you whose heart is locked, but by your worship and by your praise of Him, the locks become broken and the doors begin to open, and all of a sudden Jesus can ascend and descend, as it were, into a human soul, and He can begin to speak and talk to them. People, this is not a religion we're into. This is a supernatural realm of God wherein there are supernatural happenings and miracles, signs and wonders and great deliverances by the power of the resurrected one whose name is Jesus. This is not just a religion. This is the truth. This is the truth. Say truth. Say truth. Say, I've got it. Truth. I am free, because Jesus said so. He said so. He said, you shall know the truth and you shall be free. Free of what? Free of all the other religions. We are free. Free to demonstrate. Free to preach it. Free to tell it. Free. But in Daniel chapter 10, we understand that there are barriers that have to be broken through. It's not that God is stubborn or wants to make us suffer. But there's a physical system in this world. There are kings, queens, ambassadors, presidents, emperors, dictators, mayors, generals, lieutenant governors, princes, princesses, etc. There's a visible system. But there is also an invisible system. The devil's kingdom is organized, and his great source of power is to deceive you by whatever means. The devil is not omnipresent. That means he's not everywhere at once. I always find that very amusing, because he may be giving me trouble in my house, but in your house you could be dancing in the spirit on the kitchen floor and he can't stop it. He can't be every place at once. So if I'm in trouble, I give you a ring on the phone, and I can hear you dancing and shouting, and it'll come over the wire to me, and I can get help. And that's what Christianity is supposed to be all about, is to help each other and to reach out. Why do you think I keep having you reach out and lay hands on each other? I do it all the time, every time I come here. I will continue to do it until you finally get the message and do it on your own without me telling you. I'm going to tell you every time I come here, lay your hands on somebody, pray for them. Lay your hands on someone, pray for them. Why? Because you've got power. I have more faith in you than you have in yourself. Some of you don't believe in yourself at all, but I believe in you. Because if you speak with tongues, folks, you've got power inside of you. And if you ever learn how to minister that power, you won't be running to the pastor with all these problems. Your problems take care of themselves. Because if you take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. If you do his work, he'll take care of your business. I promise you, as a man of God, I can stand on that. And you people have power inside of you. And the devil knows it. But he brings up your past. He tells you you're no good. You're not changed. You're the same. You've still got the same temptations you had before. He goes on and on and on and on and on. You get down to pray. You think of things you haven't thought about in 5,000 years. And this whole parade just comes by. The devil has got a parade. He'll drag all kinds of things up. And you can see you're trying to get your mind on somebody. You're seeing all these things. You know what I'm talking? Can anybody relate to that? But my my prophecy to you is this. I'm almost afraid to say it. I'll say it. My prophecy to you is this. Hang in there. The parade eventually will go on by. And when the tail end goes down the road, you'll be in the presence of God. And you'll have a hold of him. Because the devil's parade will run out. But you've got to hang in there till he goes on down the street. And when he gets on down the street, you'll have a hold of God. And God will be answering you. The devil is afraid of you. Say, the devil is afraid of me. It's rather exciting, isn't it? When you get to thinking that the devil is afraid of us. He's afraid of us. If you've got the name of Jesus, you're a holy terror to him. A terror to him. A terror to him. Because you can back him out of anything. You can back him back into the hole from which he came out. You can make him crawl back in the hole. You can back him right down into the hole in the name of Jesus. We talk about, the devil did this, the devil did that. Let me tell you a secret here. You have never really come face to face with Lucifer himself. If you did, you'd have some story to tell. You work with his subordinates. He sends his subordinates, his inferiors to you to torment you. Most of us are not important enough for him to himself to come to us. If he ever comes to you himself, you can mark it down, you're somebody in God, and you have a story to tell. That's very good, because the devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies. There are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers, there is spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't need to be afraid. We just need to know where our enemy is and what we are fighting. We have power over this. Oh, there are people who give me trouble. And there are situations that give me trouble. And the devil tries to give me trouble. I told the devil, I have told him this about 3 or 4 times in the last 5 or 6 days. Devil, you are a fool to give me trouble. Because you will not stop me. You will not alter me. All I'm going to do, boy, is downshift deeper, and I'm going to preach it harder and straighter than I've ever preached it before, and I'm going to help more people than I've ever helped before. So you ought to leave me alone, because I'm going to become a terror to you. I know of one of our missionaries that told the devil, every time you give me trouble, I'm going out and witness to 10 souls about Jesus. And every time the devil brought some problem his way, he would go out on the street, drop everything, go out on the street and tell 10 souls about Jesus. Guess what? His life sort of straightened out and leveled off, because the devil does not want you telling 10 souls about Jesus. He doesn't want you telling 10 sinners about Jesus, because he knows you have the power to wrest them from his hands and his grip, and he is unable to do it, because I reiterate, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And this gospel works! Whether you preach it, teach it, sing it, shout it. I remember a devil-possessed person walked in off the street in a street little hole in the wall where I was preaching, a storefront. This guy walked in off the street. The devil was in him. And he stood up in the middle of my teaching session and said, "You're not doing it right." He said, "You need to sing it like a bird." Full of the devil, this guy was spaced out. And the Holy Ghost fell on me, and I shook my fist at him and I said, "Not so! This gospel works whether it's sung, preached, croaked, or screeched. This gospel works if it is said in the name of Jesus Christ." And he was routed out of there. You know what's wrong with us? When someone off the street comes in here, if it is devil-possessed, we get to groaning and moaning and shaking and trembling, not knowing what's going to happen to this situation. You know what we had to do? We ought to just clap our hands and rub our hands and say, "Here's a chance. Here's a chance to demonstrate the power that's in me." And if we'd all tackle him like a guy in a football huddle, I guarantee you the devil would be very careful who he dragged in here, because we will convert them. We will convert them. We will convert them. You don't sound very positive about that. But we will convert them. We will convert them. That's how most of us got converted. We stumbled in here out of off the streets out there, and something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of you. And we have been changed. And we are different. And we are never going back. Say, "I'm not going back." Say, "I don't have to." We have power. The church world and the religions of this world have not offered this power to the young people of our day. There is in every human heart a desire to have a supernatural experience with God. And they're going to try to find it. There's such a longing. There's such a longing inside of the human heart. Such a longing. From the day he's old enough or she's old enough to know anything, there's a longing there. And they set about to fill that void, that emptiness. They'll try all kinds of substitutes. Drugs, alcohol, immorality. They'll try everything. And it's all a dead end. Satan does not know your mind nor your heart unless you tell him. We advertise his victories over us, but he never tells your victory over him. It's not broadcast throughout his kingdom that so-and-so got away, and they're having a big revival over there, and they filled the civic auditorium, and all kinds of people got delivered tonight, and a lot of devils that used to be out there on the field are now home sulking. They don't tell that, but we do. And the problem with us is that a lot of it's not devil at all. It's just us. We give him credit for things he's not even powerful enough to do. It's us. What if we get a hold of us and take us to Jesus and pound ourselves full of the Holy Ghost? If you can't do it, we'll help pound on you. We'll pound you full. But we ought to tackle everybody here tonight and close these doors and lock them up and just pray everybody through to the Holy Ghost here until you are slap happy drunk on the Holy Ghost. And just drag you out of here, put you to bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, speaking with tongues. That's what we really need to have happen in this place. And some of you right now are saying in your own heart and mind, I can't get through that. You don't have to get through it. We'll get you through it. We'll put you to bed. I'm off the track, but I like being off the track here. I feel something. Our heritage isn't all of that type of thing I'm talking about right there. Our heritage, the thing that has made us great and has catapulted us to where we are today, is those old timers that prayed and spoke with tongues and fell out and had trances. We have trances and visions, but it's going to McDonald's and whatever after church. They didn't have those kinds of trances and visions. They saw angels. They heard voices. They heard singing. They felt hands touch them when there was no one in the room but they themselves. They heard footsteps and there was no one there but themselves alone. They had stories of angels. They felt hands touch them when there was no one in the room but they themselves. They heard footsteps and there was no one there but themselves alone. They had stories of angels. Intercessory prayer with groanings, the Bible says, which cannot be uttered. Groanings that cannot be uttered. I mentioned this morning about a prayer meeting I had in my kitchen. And when we tell the whole story, I don't know what happened in that kitchen. But I didn't get to bed when I thought I was going to get to bed. I got to bed about an hour and a half later. Something happened for me in that prayer meeting. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you there were pressures that lifted from me. I touched God. Something happened. And I've been different ever since. And I feel like I'm in control. Not out of control, but in control. I remember I pastored a woman once. She was a precious old woman. She had been a real aristocrat in her day, a woman of renown, but she'd had a supernatural experience with God in our little church. And this woman became a prophetess. She was a prophetess. I remember one night when I was very tired, I was stepping down on steps, and she was sitting in the audience, and her face became red, and tears began to roll down her face. She began to weep and cry. And at the end of the service, I was so exhausted. At the end of the service, I went to her. I said, Sister Martin, what happened? Why were you crying? Because I didn't feel I was that anointed. I didn't feel that much. I was exhausted. I had been traveling a lot. And she said, oh, Brother Stone King. She said, when you began to walk down those steps on those platforms, when you reached that second level, she said, two angels appeared behind you. And she said, they began to discuss you. And after they had discussed you for just a few minutes, one of them reached over and laid his hand upon your shoulder. She said, you will be rested from this day on. And I was. She was a prophetess of God. And after several years of pastoring and working with her and relying on her, she came down with a terminal illness, they said, from the AMA, the American Medical Association, that is. They said she was terminally ill, that she would die, that she would not live. What did she do? She did not call me or anyone else. She went home to her bed, and as Hezekiah of old did, she crawled into that bed, put her gown on, crawled into that bed, and she turned to the wall and she said, Jesus, I'm not leaving this wall till you heal me. And she groaned through the night and interceded in prayer. Her daughter told me so. But in the morning, she was divinely healed and lived for years after that. Do you really believe these kinds of stories? Do you really believe that this Jesus is the same right here tonight as he was back there? Do you believe that Jesus could do that type of thing for you in spite of medical prognosis and diagnosis? Do you believe that Jesus is still powerful enough in this hour to rid you of any kind of a disease? Do you believe that Jesus is all powerful? If you believe it, would you clap your hands and lift your voice? Shout with the voice, praise and triumph to the Lord. See, I believe it.
some things that God cannot do because of God's own declarations. Men, mankind, the human family must intercede for his own family. Angels can't pray for us. We have to pray for our own kind. Humanity, human beings must intercede for his own human family. And if we will, and you can feel that devil fighting sometimes, and oh, it'll stir up everything. They threaten divorce and running away and shootings and everything else. They'll threaten it. You know what that means? You ought to go someplace and shout for joy in your back bedroom, because that means it's working. We call it conviction. I've put more than one anointed handkerchief under somebody's mattress on the side of the bed where they slept, and they couldn't sleep. And they never knew that I was the culprit until after they prayed through and I felt they were safe and it was good to tell them. But we've got a hold of it, and you can do it. And God will answer, because prayer works. Prayer. Crying to God. There's such a need for intercession. Such a need to just lose ourselves in prayer and cry out to God. If some old woman is at the altar and she's interceding for a bicycle, that's her burden, not God's. But if it's God's burden, you may not know what you're praying about. It's just that you feel this. And you can't keep working on the car. You've got to shut the lawnmower off. And you have to stop cooking. You have to turn the iron off. You have to go home from shopping and get down at the bed and begin to cry, because you feel this call to duty. I remember, must be about 5 years ago now, I used to preach a conference for Brother Denny in Seattle, Washington. We had a wonderful conference. It wasn't a huge conference. It was a singles conference. But one night, on a Saturday night it was, we had been eating, which is our tradition, and we had finished, and it was midnight, and one of the staff members, I was staying in the Denny's home in their guest room, but some of the other staff members were staying in a hotel downtown. And one of the staff members looked at the clock, and it was 12 o'clock midnight, and they said, I've got to get some rest. I have to teach in the morning again. And so we all stood to disband, and I simply said, let's just have a word of prayer. We were still praying at 4 a.m. in the morning. The Spirit of God came in that place. I remember Brother Denny's daughter came to this school. She had, Ramona, she had a burden for the Chinese people. I didn't know that. Her best friend was a Chinese girl. I didn't know that either. But sitting there in that dining area around that table, Brother Denny was over here against the wall, curled up, crying and speaking with tongues. His wife was over here at the table. She was crying and speaking with tongues. The staff members were around the table. And Richard Denny, the boy, was in the kitchen giving it this, jumping up and down, speaking with us. You could hear dishes rattle in the cupboards. And I was seated at the other end of the table, and I could feel the Spirit of God moving. And Ramona was over here on the floor around the corner of in the next room away from her father. And she was speaking in what sounded to me like Chinese. And the Spirit of God said to me, go to her. I have a word for her. And so we had the lights turned down, and I just got down the floor and crawled around to the people and got to her. And when I got to her, God gave me a vision. I saw thousands of Chinese people sitting cross-legged on the ground with their faces raised and their hands raised to Jesus. And they were worshiping as far as the eye could see. And the Lord spoke to me for her. And I told her, God said to her, He said, you will never go to China. But your prayer tonight, your intercessory prayer, has unlocked the door for revival behind those closed doors. And millions will come because of you. And that girl absolutely collapsed. Brother Denny came running, scooped her up in his arms. I'll never forget this. And held her, and they spoke in the same language. It was one of the most awesome evenings I have ever had in God. And since that time, we have found out that there are all kinds of things going on in China underground. You know what I'm telling you here tonight? You hear me? I'm not talking about someone who lived 2,000 years ago whose name is in the Bible. I'm talking about people like you who can pray prayers and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what's being unlocked and what's being unleashed. Because if you did, you would not leave your knees. You would not leave your place of prayer if you could really see sometimes what you are effecting in the spirit world. And there is no way for the devil to fight it. Communism can't fight it. Isms and schisms can't fight it. Nothing can fight the power of prayer because they can't see the spirit. I know others have prayed. I'm sure that others have prayed. But God. And then Richard Denny came in, dancing through all of that, and he fell over against the wall not far from me, and he began to speak in a language I had never heard before. And yet it had some kind of a rhythm to it. It had a ring to it. And I said to Jesus, in my way of doing things, see, I don't preach about these things all the time. I'm just telling you where I really live. This is where I live, and that's why I can do the things I do and be so content, because I have a hold of it, and I know I have a hold of it. But I only give people what they can take. So you must be able to handle all this at this point. So here we are, and here we go. I'm not some weirdo or some guy that's off the wall or some fanatic religionist. I am a child of God, and I know God, and He knows me. I have His name. I am filled with His Spirit. Say, but then so am I. Say it again. Say it again. Yes. Filled with it. Filled with it. You are filled with it. There's something rumbling here right now. A lot of you want to just shout and scream. So why don't you do it? Because there is a revelation in this house tonight. There is a revelation here. There's understanding and there's a ministry of the Spirit also. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Jesus. you know what's happening in this place tonight? There are men of God. There are missionaries here tonight that are being endued with power from on high to go back and to shake the spirit world. And the devil's world is trembling and the forces of hell are beginning to crumble. You can feel an effect in the spirit world in the very atmosphere of this church sanctuary tonight, because there is something above us. The Shekinah glory of God is above this church. It's in the heavens above this church. It's been there for a long time, but it's falling in this place tonight. You can feel the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. You can feel the rippling of the power and the majesty of the Holy One from Israel in this place tonight. You can feel the touch of His hand upon your shoulder. You can hear the sound of His voice in your ear. You people here tonight are being stirred by the power of the gift that is inside of you. The spirit of prophecy is in this house. The spirit of utterance is in this house. The spirit of deliverance is in this house. The spirit of conversion is in this house. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And if you will throw your voice into the air, if you will throw your hands into the air, the Spirit of the Almighty will visit us tonight in a holy visitation. That's it, that's it, that's it. I got to have it. I cannot live without this. I must have it. I must hear His voice. I must touch Him. I cannot live a life of mediocrity. I cannot live a life without the realm of the supernatural. I must have it. I must touch it. I must be changed. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah. I challenge you tonight to get prayer meetings going in this church like you used to have going in this church. Get this women's group together again. Get the men in this place praying together. Get here before work. You Bible school students ought to get up in the morning. You want to have a ministry? I'll tell you where you're going to get it. You're going to get it on your faces. You're going to get it on your knees. It's going to come out of groanings that cannot be interpreted and cannot be uttered. It's going to come out of sobbings. It's going to come out of weepings. It's going to come out of the closet. Jesus. Jesus. Angels are in this place tonight. The angels of the Lord are in this place tonight. Visiting some of you. Speaking to some of you. Touching some of you. Ministering to many of you. People are on their faces. People are coming to the altar without an altar call because there is a drawing of the Spirit of God upon humanity to intercede for the human family. God wants to save your mother. God wants to save your father. He wants to save your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, your relatives, your grandparents. God wants to do it, but He can't do it unless you pray, unless you intercede, because the walls will come down and the prisons will be opened and the chains will be melted. That's what we're talking about here tonight. A holy visitation of God. A holy visitation of God for England, for the islands of the sea, for the nations of the world. If you could dim the lights, people are coming. People are crying out to God. Oh, I will lift my voice to the Lord. Jesus, Jesus.